me, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we'll begin at verse 1 and we'll read through verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And if you're having problems finding it, it's in the Old Testament. If you still got a problem finding it, it's on page 51 in my Bible. But if your Bible is different from my Bible, then can I suggest that you find your way to Sunday school?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We have Sunday school, and I think we have, somebody told me we have five teachers. So I think we got some of the five best teachers, yeah, on this side of the Mason-Dixon line. Amen. Amen. And we're trying to make that 5'10". I know we were in Sunday school, we said 4. And I said, no, okay, well, then 8. But then somebody said 5. I was like, okay, well, then fine. We're going to have 10. Amen. So we're looking to produce. We're looking to reproduce. Amen. That's why we're going from one class to two classes. Amen. Because them teachers got to learn and practice on you. Amen. And the only way they're going to learn and practice is if you're there for Sunday school. All right, my unashamed and free throwing out there for you for free in terms of Sunday school. Sunday school is available. Amen. And then, look, if Sunday school is not enough, then we have Bible study on Wednesday. Amen. Amen. And so you can hear me ramble on about something. Amen. But it's going to be out of the Word of God. All right, with that being said, you've had more than enough time to get to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we'll begin at verse 1. When you have it, say amen. All see you're in fine and good voice, and it reads on this wise. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass that at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou hast callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he rose and he went to Eli, and he said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth."
Amen.
For a few moments of our time, we just want to talk from the thought, the idea, the theme, listening for the Lord. Listening for the Lord. Before you take your seat, let us go to God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for the privilege and the opportunity to be able to come into the house of the Lord just one more time. We ask, Father God, that you open our hearts and our minds to receive that which you have for us this day. We pray, Father God, that it would find a lodging place in our heart, that it would produce fruit. We pray, Father God, that you would decrease me, but that you would increase your Holy Spirit, that your word would go forth with clarity and with power, that it would do those things that you have purposed them to do, some to encourage, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of you. We ask, Father God, for all of our ears to be receptive to the words of God, that, Lord, that we would not leave this place the same way that we came in, but, Lord, we would leave just a little bit better for what we have heard from your word. Now, these and all other things We do ask and do pray in Jesus' mighty name. And these things we all do say, amen, amen. Listening for the Lord, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Listening for the Lord. Oftentimes when, even before you're saved and even after you're saved, we all oftentimes are running around trying to figure out, is God speaking to me? We're trying to figure out, well, Lord, how is it that I can hear from you? I know that I'm saved, and even sometimes you deal with the doubt of salvation. Amen. There are those who have believed in their heart. They have confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're saved. But sometimes we have an itching doubt in the back of our mind sometimes. Lord, am I really saved? Lord, am I really hearing from you? Lord, how can I be sure that you're speaking to me? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we find these words in Hebrews. First chapter, one of the first verses, it says that in Hebrews it tells us that God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. I've come by to let you know this morning that God continues to speak to us. In those days, in the days of the prophets, in the days of the patriarchs, in the days when the oracles of God were given to the children of Israel, they were relying upon the prophet of God to show up and say, thus saith the Lord. They were relying upon one man in one place at one time who had been established through God for them to hear from God. And up and through and to that time, that they were still operating oftentimes under the oral tradition. And what do I mean by an oral tradition? Well, they were the word of God was, although they had the Ten Commandments and they were written in stone, a lot of the things that of those 633 laws, it took some time for those laws to make it from quill pen to papyrus paper. And in the meantime, the people of God were relying upon the priest of God to be able to faithfully say unto them that which they received orally. Now, I don't know about you, but oftentimes we realize, and if you've lived long enough, you realize that sometimes when people will say a thing, there's something lost in the transition. You ever play that game where there's like maybe five or six of you in a circle, and the person in the first seat will say something to the other person in the second seat, and they'll whisper it to them in their ear, and by the time it gets to you, it sounds like nothing like what it started. It may have started, there was bread in the pan, until, you know, there's something else in the pan. Amen. There's always something that could be possibly lost in an oral tradition. But praise be unto God, someone took the time to take quill pen and put it to papyrus paper and put down the things that God had laid upon the hearts of the prophets, that had laid upon the hearts of men like Moses, that laid upon the hearts of men like David, that they put it down and preserved it on paper. But you realize that sometimes that even in our best efforts of making sure that we copied it correctly, that we put it down on paper correctly, sometimes we mess up. Amen. And I'm not saying that they messed up, because the word of God says that in its original form, there is no error in terms of what it was that God said. But because God deals with men, and you know men can be messy. Now, look, I'm not just saying men, although all y'all women are saying, yeah, men are messy. But men, women, boys, girls, anything that's human is going to mess up. Amen. That's why there's sin in the world. We drop the ball. We come short. We miss the mark. There's no way that we can ever get it right all the time. But God has an expectation that we get it right all the time. I've come by to let you know this morning that God is a good God. And God realizes that sometimes there's a mess up in the communication. But praise be unto God, he knows where you live. He knows where you sleep, and he knows that if he needs to get something to you, he can find you to get it to you. Isn't that great to know that even if no one else can find you, even if your mail can't find you, even if the officer that's looking for you can't find you, even though your ex-wife can't find you, God can find you. He knows where you are, and he knows where you can be found. Here we find in the text that God is establishing a relationship with a young man by the name of Samuel. We learn that in Samuel's story that Samuel is in fact a young man when all this occurs. Guess what? You don't have to be just a young man to hear from God. Many of us older adults, those of you who have retired and have since said, well, I'm going to put up my running shoes and then I'm going to sit down and just enjoy it. Guess what? God still got work for you. For we find that here in this story, there is a young man and there is an old man. And we find that here the young man is experiencing something that only the older man can tell him how to work it. I've always been an advocate that every young man or young woman needs an older man and an older woman as a mentor to help them through life. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm going to assume that many of you have had some kids or had some kids or someone who looked up to you. And they would ask you things pertaining to what was going on in their life. God puts these people in our lives for a reason. Amen. He puts younger people in older men's lives and puts older men in younger men's lives so that they might be a blessing one to the other. Yes, sir. Amen. You didn't accumulate all the knowledge that you had, all the age that you have, just to keep all of it to yourself. But God has made it so that he wants us to establish relationships, older men, older women, with younger men and younger women. How is it that you knew the things that you know about child rearing? You obviously may have read the books by Dr. Spock, but you realize Dr. Spock don't live in your house. You realize that when you were sick or as a younger person and you had to figure out, well, I know I need to go to the doctor. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you the story and I'm going to move on. At age 50, yeah, I know I look younger than that. But at age 50, you know, on your 50th birthday, that hospitals will reach out to you and say, there's a test we need you to take. Right. Now, I'm not going to go into all the things that the test requires you to take. But for you, before you could take the test, there's some stuff you got to drink. So they send out the notice to me. I get the notice. Y'all laughing. Y'all know. They send the notice to me. I read the notice, and praise be unto God, there was a man in my life, and it was actually Gina's dad, Eugene May. And so I get the notice, and I go to Mr. May, and I say, well, Mr. May, I got to go take this test. He said, well, what kind of test you got to take? And I said, well, you know, I got to go to the doctor, and they're going to put stuff in me. He said, oh, you got to have that test. I said, yes, I have to have that test. He said, oh, don't worry about it. And, you know, and then, you know, he started shaking his head like, oh, don't worry about it. They're going to give you some stuff to drink. The hardest part about the test is drinking the stuff. Because you ain't going to remember the test. My point to you is this, is that before I had that conversation with the older man who had already been where I needed to go, I was afraid? I was afraid. But it wasn't until I spoke with the older man who had already been through some things, who had already lived some life, who had already taken what he had known and placed it in the reservoir of his mind, that he was then able to share it with me. And that's all I've come by to let you know this morning, that younger men can benefit from the knowledge of older men. But then can I say this as well? Older men can benefit from the presence of younger men. Because look, I can't tell you how he felt when he told me this, but I can tell you sometimes how I feel when I speak into my son's life. and then he sees it, and then all of a sudden, he follows it. Amen. It makes me feel good that he paid attention, at least to that one point, that he paid attention to what it was that I had to say at that time, and he had a positive outcome. All I want to say this morning is that if you remember this, you'll have the sermon. Listen for the Lord, because he still speaks today. First of all, to hear from God, you got to be in a position to hear God. Here in verse 3, it says that the lamp of God goes out, and that in the temple of God and where the ark of God was, and Samuel had laid down to sleep. Notice Samuel was asleep. I'm quite sure if Samuel was asleep, because you know younger folk like to stay up longer than older folk. So you know that if Samuel was asleep, Eli was asleep. Now, I didn't say how long Eli slept all night. Amen, because we know that older people don't sleep all night long. Okay, unless you got some medication on board. Samuel is laid down to sleep. And so in the stillness of the night, God begins to do his work. Can I just stop here and put a pin in it for a moment? We find that oftentimes God talks to us best when we are asleep or when we are at rest. And why is that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Matter of fact, it's so easy preaching to y'all because y'all ask all the right questions. He speaks to us when we are at rest because nothing else is on our mind to cloud our mind. Nothing, and we're not busy running around. You understand that when you're busy running around, your mind is preoccupied with what it is that you're running around about. And because you have your mind so geared up on making sure you make your way to the cleaners, that you make after you leave the cleaners, then you got to go to the grocery store. After you leave the grocery store, then you got to make your way to the Southern California Edison to pay your gas bill. And then once you leave there, then you got to make sure that you get home enough time so that way when the termite man comes by, he can spray. So you got all these things going on, and do you really have time to listen for the Lord? Samuel is asleep, and the Lord begins his work. Samuel, and then on top of that, Samuel was where he was supposed to be. He was in the temple. He lived in the temple. He was where he was supposed to be because there was the adult watching after him. So he was where he was supposed to be, sleeping where he was supposed to be. I'm just saying, I'm going to put another pin here. Sometimes we find ourselves not sleeping in the place where we're supposed to sleep. Nobody here. But I'm just saying, if you need to be where it is that you're supposed to be. Amen. And then oftentimes people say, well, you know, I can't come to church. Here's Samuel. Samuel is in church. Can I just make it plain? He in the temple. He in a tent. They didn't have the temple at this time. They only had the tabernacle. But here he is. He's asleep in the tabernacle. Amen. He's asleep in the tent where he's supposed to be, right? Some of y'all can't get to the church. You sleep in your own house. Now, I ain't got, you know, some preachers actually get upset when people are actually asleep in church. I'm happy. I'm glad that you came to church. I'm glad that this is the only place that you can find to get peace and quiet so that you might sleep. Amen. Because I don't know what's going on at your home. H-E-double-L hockey sticks may have broken out there. And you figure the only place where you can get some peace is at church. Amen. Come to church. Amen. Come to church. You can go to sleep here. But my point is that what? Samuel is where he's supposed to be. He's quiet. He's in stillness. But then God has a funny way. He'll call you by your name. He'll call you by your name. You know what? What kills me is when there are people who will run around and say, God told me to tell you. Well. Like God can't find me. Like God don't know where I live. God told me to tell you. Now, he may have. Amen. He may have. He may have put it on that person's heart to tell you something. But don't you think that God know enough to tell you? That to make it plain for you? So all I would simply do is you hear it. Don't necessarily receive it, but you know, just like when we were talking about Mary and people were running up on Mary, telling them, oh, blessed be woman of God. The child that you're going to have is going to be the Messiah. The following verses go, and she kept this all in her heart. She didn't go out and publicize it. She just said, okay, I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to keep it to myself. Oftentimes we'll hear stuff and say, oh, man of God. And people would tell me this all the time. Oh, man of God, you're going to get this church. It wasn't this church. You're going to get this church because God told me to tell you. So I'm already like, okay. I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to reserve it in my heart. Turned around, somebody else got the church. Amen. But the point is that not everybody who comes to you and says, God told me to tell you, is in fact was told by God. Amen. Because there are other spirits out there that tell people stuff. Amen. 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 And if you don't know who you're listening for, you will listen to anyone. You have to learn to whom you're listening for. But also notice that every time God called Samuel, he called him by his name, but then you also realize what it was that Samuel did. He got up and he responded. He got up. Every time he heard the voice of the Lord, he got up and he responded. And notice he responded in the only way that he knew how. He went to the one trusted adult that would be able to respond back to him. The Bible tells us that the word of the Lord had not been heard for quite some time. We also learn that he himself had never heard the voice of the Lord himself. So it does make much good sense that the only voice he really knew was the voice of Eli. And so when he heard the voice, he responded to the one person that had been talking to him on a regular basis, who was Eli. Yes, he shows up and responds to Eli. And each time he's been called, we don't read where he like, oh, man, he done just called me. How come he just didn't tell me what he wanted the first time? But each time Samuel gets up, we don't read about complaint. Amen. We don't read about a complaint. Now, look, I remember when my kids were younger. I mean, like babies. Amen. And they had gone past the point of sleeping in the crib and they sleep in their own bed. Amen. Because I don't like it. You know, y'all can't sleep in the bed with me because y'all kicking. So y'all need your own bed. But for whatever reason, they would wake up. Daddy, there's a monster under the bed. Daddy, I can't sleep. Daddy, can I sleep in here with you? Now, after about the third time, I'm kind of like tired. And I'm trying, because, you know, at this point, I'm working a job. And the people at the job looking for me to show up at the job. I can't go to the job if I'm not well rested. And I'm a bad decision maker when I'm not rested. That means that terrible things happen to other folk when I'm not rested. Samuel makes his way without complaint each time over to Eli. And notice he's not surly. No. He shows up and he says, here am I. I heard you call. Eli, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Why are you here? Go back to bed. Samuel each time goes back to bed. Not only do you need to be in a position to hear the Lord, but then you need to have a leader, a teacher, or a mentor. Here, each time that Samuel responds to the Lord, he goes to the only leader, he goes to the only teacher, he goes to the only mentor that he has, and that's Eli. Now, if you've read anything about Eli, Eli ain't the most reliable guy. I'll put it nicely. Eli had two other sons that were running buck wild.
Because Eli would not put his sons in check.
Right.
God then places a punishment upon him and his lineage after that point.
That's right.
But God is the only guy I know, is the only God I know who will fire you from your job but let you keep working. Eli continues in his position as priest of the temple until age 98. He was fired long before then. Once Samuel came along, and then not only will God fire you from your job, he'll make you train your replacement. We even see that here. When Eli passes on, the mantle goes to Samuel. And he's taught through Eli, even though Eli was kind of raggedy, his situation was not great, but Eli knew when the Lord was speaking to you. Because the Lord has spoken to Eli not only, but on more than one occasion. But here we find that Samuel had to go to someone who was his leader, his teacher, and his mentor. Each time he responded, he never left the tabernacle. He went to the leader of the tabernacle. Each time God called him, he never left the tabernacle, but he went to his teacher. Every time that he was called, he went to his mentor. And each time, those first three times, he responded faithfully. He responded faithfully because Eli was faithful to him. If a person treats you well, no matter how raggedy they are, and they continue to be faithful to you, that just means that you should probably be faithful to them. I don't know. Oftentimes we'll receive reports on people by other people in regards to people that we know. And the people that we know have treated us well, have fed us when we were hungry, had brought us in when we did not have no place to stay, gave us a job when we didn't deserve no job, gave us good advice when we could have just been kicked to the curb. But each and every time we dealt with that individual, they dealt with us faithfully. And now someone comes along. You may know them, you may not know them, but yet and still, they have something bad to say about the individual who was your leader, your teacher, or your mentor. And here you are eating it up like it's cake. Not only are you eating it up like cake, but then you have the audacity to turn around and then spread it. If the person has been faithful to you, has taught you and loved on you, guided you and direct you, don't you think that you at the very least owe them that much? You can't come up to me and talk to me anything about people that I already know and have a relationship with. Amen. Bo Gaffney, I've known Bo for over 10 years. It's been 10 years? Okay, I won't date us. He said more. I don't want y'all to figure out how old I am. But I've known, he already told us we had at least 50. But I've known Bo for well over 10 years. Worked with this man at my job. We've done some things together. They've all been good and healthy and wholesome. But you can't tell me nothing about him. You can't come to me and badmouth him. I know some of his strengths. I know some of his weaknesses. But you can't badmouth my friend. I've known my wife over 30 plus years of my life. I love that woman with all my stinking heart. There is nothing that you can tell me about my wife that ain't good. Because you can keep that to yourself. I know my wife. I know her strength. I know my weaknesses. I ain't kicking my wife to the curb. But we should say the same thing about each other. I know Brother Edwards. I know Sister Rodriguez. I know Sister Green and Brother Green. I know the Bells. I'm knowing more Bells than I thought I knew. I know the Bells. I know this Lawson. I know those Lawsons. I know the Fern Eye. When you have more than one, you can stick an eye. I know the Fern Eye. Love them. I know the Wootons. Look, I could go through the whole room here. Sister Alvarado, Deacon Smith, I know these people. You cannot come to me and tell me anything about them because they're my friends. But not only are they my friends, but they're the sheep of this pasture. You can't badmouth my sheep. And you know what? Y'all being the sheep, nobody should badmouth this place. You ought to, look, there's a, what we used to call the ABCs. You ought to attend your church. You ought to defend your church. And then you ought to commend your church. Amen. You ought to be lifting it up. You ought to be telling, look, I know you got a nice place where you go to, but it ain't as nice as mine. I know your pastor is a wonderful soul, but he ain't as wonderful as mine. I know that y'all do things, but we do things over at our church too. And you know what? I wouldn't want to do them with anybody else. Why? Because them some good folk over there at New Beginnings Christian Fellowship. I'm just going to say NBC because that's a lot. I love those people, and those people love me. And you know what? We actually spend time. Somebody actually suggested one time that we should cut down on the amount of time that we spend hugging and loving each other in the middle of the service. I'm like, why? I want to go to a place where the people are happy to see each other. Amen. Amen. I will, look, no matter how big we get, we are not going to ever get rid of that time. That's just good time. Amen. Not only should you be in a position to hear, not only should you listen to your teacher, your leader, your mentor, because he's faithful, he's available, and trustworthy. But last but not least, you need to also need to faithfully follow the instruction given. Oftentimes, we'll find that person. We'll tell them what the issue is. Once we've gone through the issue with them, they'll give us some advice. And then it's up to you to take the advice. Oftentimes, you find yourself failing because you've been given good advice, but you don't follow through on it. You've been given good advice, but you say, you know what? I mean, as much as I love you, as much as I appreciate you, as much as can't nobody talk bad about you, I'm not going to do that. Amen. Amen. And you've all experienced it. If you got any kids, you've experienced it. Daddy, I love you. I appreciate you. I like you so much. I gave you that tie on Father's Day. I love you. But you know what? What you talking? I'm not feeling. You know what? I'm just going to do what I think is right. And then sometimes you just got to take your hand off of it. And let them know, say, look, I'm a love you. I still love you. But when you get that whooping, you know, I'm going to be here for you. I may not be able to unscramble the egg, but I'll help you eat it. Amen. Because there's some decisions, once you crack the egg, now the only decision you have is do you fry it, do you boil it, do you scramble it, or what? He said poach. But some decisions you can't go back on. Once you open the egg, you got to eat the egg. You got to play the ball where the ball lies. And that's another good thing about being a mentor. Because when they do drop the ball, and they will drop the ball, and you know they will because you have, you got to be there to help them through it. But before they drop the ball, they need to be faithfully in following the instructions. Here we have in the scripture, Samuel is in his bed. He is where he's supposed to be. Samuel hears what he thought was Eli because he had not known the voice of the Lord. Eli then responds to the voice of the Lord. I mean, not Eli. Samuel responds to the voice of the Lord by responding to Eli. Now, notice the only person who was not in the loop was Eli, because God wasn't speaking to Eli. God was speaking to Samuel. And this is the point. If you want to hear from the Lord, you got to figure out who is he speaking to. Oftentimes, he's speaking to you, but you're like, I want to deflect it and have him speak to him. 9 times out of 10, that'll get you in some trouble. Because when God is speaking to you, he's speaking to you specifically and for a specific reason. He might allow you to share it, and on top of that, that's up to you. But when God gives it to you, it's for you. Now, the majority of the time, he'll allow you to share it. And a matter of fact, he'll want you to share it, because at the end of the day, there's glory to be given to God. He'll allow you to share it because God don't do anything in a vacuum. He doesn't do it so no one can see. Oh, he'll do what he can do on the outside. But when it's done, people are going to be sitting there wondering, how did you get to where you got? And you ain't qualified to even be there. You ever find yourself sitting in a seat that you don't deserve, but yet and still you're sitting in that seat? You ever find yourself working a job that you didn't necessarily deserve to have, but you got that job? Yeah. Don't know how you got that job. Only by the grace of God you got what you got through the way that you got it. Don't you realize that oftentimes the reason why you get blessed the way you get blessed is not because of what you know, but who you know? Don't you know that the reason why your life is the way that it is, the reason why you've believed in your heart, the reason why that you can confess with your mouth is because Jesus died for you. It wasn't anything that you did. It wasn't anything that you deserved. It wasn't anything that you could have earned. God sends God to die for old raggedy me, for old raggedy you. You, there's nothing that we could have done to get what it was that he had for us. But yet and still, because God loves us oh so much, he sent his only begotten son to die on Calvary's cross, not for anything that God had done, but for what we had done. Because we were asleep and not paying attention at the wheel, we lost control of our car. The car crashed while we were in it. We should have been dead and gone to hell. But Jesus knew that there was going to be a time where you was going to fall asleep. You was going to lose control of your car. You were going to be almost dead. And if you do die, but praise be unto God, he died and then he rose so you can die and then rise again. Maybe you don't get it. Maybe you don't understand. Maybe you ain't never had an experience where you should have been dead, lying in your grave. Maybe you've never had an experience where the bullet hit you and you should have been dead. Maybe you've never had an experience where they said you had the cancer and they couldn't even operate. Go home, put your things in order. We'll give you some palliative care and then we're done with you. But praise be unto God. We know somebody who put these bodies together, who's able then to heal us and able to move us in ways that we weren't able to move ourselves. And we'll show back up at the doctor's office. What you doing here? Why ain't you dead? Because I serve a God who does all things well. If you hear from the Lord, you need to be in a position to hear. You need to find a leader, a teacher, a mentor, and then you need to faithfully follow the instructions given. And here are the instructions that are given. The instructions that you've been given are this. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you shall be saved. You ain't got to go nowhere. You ain't got to go in a room. You ain't got to tarry and wait. It happens the moment you believe, the moment you confess, you go from darkness into the marvelous light. If something terrible were to happen to you, you'd find yourself out of the physical realm and in the spiritual realm in the presence of the Lord. And if you've done all the instructions correctly, he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been obedient over a few things, and now I'm going to make you a leader over much. He says, and the songwriter says this, I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. The word of the Lord has gone forward.